What's up, everyone? It's me, Linda, your host of Speak On It. So this is our second episode of our new and rebranded podcast, Speak On It, and we are super excited to be introducing Yasmin today. We had a really cool conversation, and yeah, I bet you forgot what my voice sounded like because it's been so long, but thank you again for tuning in. Let's get right into it. So she is a student in the Sustainable Energy Engineering program at SFU. She's also the president of Women in Clean Tech at SFU and this year's recipient of the Woman of the Year Award for Applied Sciences. Like, what? Congratulations for that. I don't think I ever congratulated you on that, but that's amazing. How are you doing today?
I am good. I'm super excited to be chatting with you.
Have you recorded a podcast before?
This is my first podcast. So
okay. Amazing. Yeah. Love that. Like, podcasts have just been popping in the past couple of months, I guess.
I maybe love years. Podcasts. So
yeah. What do you listen to? Or do you have a favorite podcast? It could be funny.
I listen to Call Her Daddy.
Okay, yeah, that's a popular one.
It's interesting. I haven't been listening to it much lately, but sometimes I'll find like random meditation podcasts.
Yes, I like those a lot. Love that. Yeah, the guided ones. Mm-hmm. I do guided meditation like on my Peloton app. Yeah, so meditation podcasts are cool. Mm-hmm. My favorite podcast is obviously, shameless plug, this one. Thank you. Appreciate that. It's been a really fun journey, just like, you know, meeting new people and like being a host. So, and we also have Bridget on board, who's been an awesome help and a new addition to our team. So yeah, it's just been a good experience. And my favorite podcast, just to, you know, is not only this one, but like, I love Ricky and Denzel's.
Yeah, I know Ricky. Talks.
We said what we said. They're like two best friends and they just have like conversations. Yeah.
So, another podcast I love is by Lauren Elizabeth. And she does these intros where she does like a count of all the things she's thankful for, or like the highs of her week and her lows of her week. And I love like doing it for myself too, but I really like her podcast. It's very, there's no like crazy up or down. So it's pretty relaxing to listen to. And I just kind of get into a good mindset. Yeah. I should go check that one out.
I used to watch her on YouTube. Is this the same Lauren Elizabeth?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know that she's still, you know, like in the social media.
It's pretty cool.
To get started, there's so much to unpack about you. You seem to be like really involved in like sustainable engineering in our community. Tell us about yourself and like what type of organizations are you like involved in, or like extracurriculars, I guess.
Yeah, so I'm a third year student at SFU and I'm in sustainable energy engineering. So a lot of my extracurriculars are involved around clean tech or sustainability and sort of further exploring those and like really understanding what they actually mean. And I'm also a woman in tech. So a lot of my extracurriculars are involved with.
Love that for you. I'm jealous. I wish I was like, I mean, okay.
You're like an honorary woman in
this
tech.
Is honestly like, I feel like I always have imposter syndrome whenever we talk about women in tech, because like technically, yeah, I am a woman in tech.
Exactly.
To some degree. Yeah. But like, I'm always just like, it just seems so far from like my area of study, but like there are, like tech is such a broad word, so
exactly.
Yeah, but like if I were to be like any other degree, like if I could pick what kind of like brain I had, I wish I knew engineering. Like I'm a communication.
It takes a little practice. I'm firm believer of it just takes a little work, but I'd like to advocate for women in tech and STEM a lot.
Amazing.
And by a lot, I mean, you know, to my reach, but also I think your daily activities, the way you speak, also play into how you advocate for women. and such. So yeah, I am the current president of Women in Clean Tech. I started off as their communications coordinator back in, I want to say like May of 2020. So quarantine. And
I remember that because that's how we met. Because yes. I am a part of Women in Engineering.
Yeah.
Which are like two kind of like sister clubs at SFU. Yeah. So like, and I was doing their marketing. I still am doing their marketing. Mm-hmm. And so we were just, you know, behind both accounts. So that's kind of
how we were DMing. It was cute.
We were like, yo, could you repost my post? Yo, God, I'll repost your post.
It was
post.
Cute.
Like, it was good.
Yeah. So I was doing their communications, which essentially was running their social media and planning events and such and hosting events. And because, you know, everyone was at home and such, it was the perfect time to grow our social media platforms. And so we really grew on Instagram. We started, and by waving me, I started doing a lot of Instagram posts covering different topics, and Women in Clean Tech sort of switched from being, I guess, a place where we talk about clean tech to a place where we talk about study tips and mental health and what's going on in the tech industry and how to get involved. And it became more so of a community than just a university club. So I'm super passionate about Women in Clean Tech. It is now my baby that I share with some others, of course, but it's just, I guess it's just a great place for, we have a lot of men members as well, which is super cool, like in our design team, on our executive team now, and it's awesome to see guys want to advocate for women and also be like, hey, you know what, like, we totally agree, it's a both sides of the story kind of a thing, and we're here. So I love that about the club. But
I love that too. Yeah,
I think Women in Eng and Women in Clean Tech, we're also super alike, and I think our biggest difference might just be that we're at different campuses, and maybe we, like, you guys have like your hackathons, we have like our panels and such, but yeah, a lot of overlapping, which I love. It's like the big sister kind of a thing, and it's very cute.
Yeah, I love that, and I love how you have like some like male members joining in, just because like it is a pretty male dominant field to be in. Yeah. So it's just nice to have that support and nice to have, you know, both perspectives, and like maybe they can learn something and or one thing exactly. or two. You never know. And it's so yeah, I love that for
I feel like at SFU there's this major culture of supporting women in like the tech classes. I mean, I know that I have never faced anything that would make me feel belittled or like condescending, and like all my guy friends have always been so supportive. And then even in the club, like, we have two design team leaders, and one of them is a guy and he's super cool. We have someone on our exec team, we have like design team members, and it's just, I've always felt so respected and so supportive. So I think that is something so valuable at SFU that is actually like overlooked quite often. I don't think anyone really realizes how unique that is,
like the support world, so. Yeah, that's really good to hear. It's just like from someone like on the outside of like those activities. So that's really good to hear that there's so much support and advocacy going on. Oh yeah, I was gonna say about your social media, just a quick point. I did realize kind of like your guys' shift in content. Like, you guys do a lot of stories and like checking in with your audience, and like as someone like who's like more of I have more of an eye for marketing. So like, I just kind of noticed like how you're like transitioning into like more of a community, which is like so amazing to see. Study tips, mental health, just checking in. And like, I know you guys hosted like some virtual events. And so it's nice to like see all the different ways that people are uniting during the pandemic, what you're involved in. Let's get into the world of sustainability, because honestly, personally, sustainability is once again another really broad word, another really kind of trendy word these days.
Yeah, definitely.
So sustainability in engineering, what does that look like? I know that's a huge question, but like, to you at least, in your experience so far.
Yeah, so everything you see around you has a lifespan, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, I think sustainability touches on the fact of, all right, well, how long is your lifespan? And what are you doing once this lifespan is up? And so our world, a lot of the materials that we use do not, or I guess they can be recycled, but not in a sustainable or a, I guess I'm going to try to not use sustainable so I can define sustainable, but you want to be able to recycle your materials in a way that will harm the planet in like the least impactful way, yeah. Right? And so in my degree, sustainable energy engineering touches on the energy impacts of all the systems, essentially. So we have a lot of mechanical engineering classes and a lot of electrical engineering classes, but we look at all our systems in an energy efficient way. Mm-hmm. And so I recently did a project on like deep water cooling systems, and it's an alternative to traditional air conditioning systems, which mm-hmm. use up a lot of energy and they pump out a lot of like CO2 emissions or SOx and NOx, which is like, I think like nitrogen oxide or like sulfate oxide. I don't fully remember which chemical compounds they are, but they're harmful essentially. And so it's an alternative way to provide air conditioning to buildings in a energy efficient manner. And so a lot of the content or a lot of, yeah, the concepts that we study and a lot of sustainability and engineering consists of changing all of these already implemented systems and making them energy efficient to reduce the emissions of the planet.
Thank you for elaborating. It's kind of like shocking to know, like, and we were talking about this earlier, that your major, like your program is kind of like a newly integrated program at SFU.
Only program in Western Canada, which is terrifying.
Which is kind of crazy because I know. The way I see it and like considering like the mainstreamness of, you know, sustainability and like, I guess like green things, clean things. I'm just trying to like use the lingo, but I don't have the same terminology.
Don't worry, we're all figuring out still.
I feel like most systems should be integrating like these ideas and like these intentions behind like their creations. Like, how do you feel about kind of like the lack of sustainability in this industry?
Yeah, so I guess maybe we could talk about a specific industry.
Maybe the fashion industry. Let's look at the fashion industry. Let's look at that. Let's look at clothes.
Let's talk about fast fashion because, my goodness, first off, where do we even start? I think we can even talk about consumption to begin
consumption,
with.
Consumption, yeah.
Our generation and our previous generations, like in the past 20 years, people's rate of consumption is kind of ridiculous when you look at the numbers. Mm-hmm. Like all we do is just use. And when you look in the fashion industry, there's like a new trend every 2 to 3 months. Like high-waisted jeans were in a few weeks ago and now we're talking low-waisted. And it's just, are you kidding me?
No. Big, small. Yeah.
I mean, like they're cute, but a lot of it's coming from these fast fashion companies like Shein, I hope I'm saying that correct, like Shein, H&M and whatnot. And a lot of these companies are coming out with like their eco-conscious lines, which are like borderline greenwashing, if you ask me. Not borderline, they are greenwashed, if you ask me.
Yeah, most definitely. I know H&M has like this program. I don't really feel bad about dragging H&M. They have this program where it's like, oh, give back your clothes and we'll give you a 10% discount. So it's just like, you're telling me to give back
to keep using,
and then they're making you as a consumer feel like ethical and green, but then you're buying, your incentive is just to buy more. And so that is just,
and then the next question is, what are you doing with these clothing? Are you using the fabric again to make new clothing? Are you burning them? What's going on, right? So it's I think the biggest issue is it's so difficult to follow up with these companies, you know. I think a company that did a really good job of becoming more sustainable and providing the receipts is Nike, actually. They're very, very clean, or they've become very clean. I'm not going to use big words, but they've become quite clean in the past few years. I did like a economic analysis on them, but I kind of merged it into doing like analysis on how green they are. And they had, I can't remember what they have like these specific reports and I can't remember what they're called, but it was all about like, just sort of their social footprint. So like how many women are in positions of power in their company, or like, what are they doing for third world countries? Like, are they donating their clothing? Are they, whatever it is. And then there was a section on their emissions. And so they have like, I can't remember the value, but a large percentage of their shoes are from recycled plastic bottles or like recycled material. And the Flyknit shoes are now 100% recycled polyester, which is very cool.
Cool.
So yeah, they've got like all these numbers out there and they seem to back it up. But
yeah,
that's just one company. I mean, I don't know. I just think the fast fashion industry is a little getting a little out of hand. I'm seeing all these like Shein hauls on TikTok and it's like, I don't even want to get into like
crazy. Like you can find, the thing is like you see these things and it's like $7 for like a bikini or whatever. And it's just like,
but it's like,
yeah, it's like
what went behind that bikini, right?
Exactly. It's a good example though, just to like refresh everybody's minds about like all like the layers of sustainability and like the broadness of it all. I honestly like feel like sustainability can be like really sociocultural, I guess, from like a sociological perspective. Like I don't know if you guys go into that in school.
We do a little bit. Yeah
Just like who is affected, I guess, like even economically, and like how can we be sustainable
when it's so expensive to be sustainable.
Yeah, there's so much overlap and it's now just coming to me. Geographically, like where can you be sustainable, who can really be sustainable, like who is has the opportunity. And like we're thinking about fast fashion and like some people can't afford to not buy fast fashion, and like that's okay. So it's just like, I guess the intentions behind it, in my opinion, it's all about the intention behind your consumption.
Like I'm not gonna sit on my high horse. I obviously have shopped at H&M and Zara and whatever it is, but I do try to go in with the mindset of, okay, if I'm gonna buy an item, it's gonna be an item that I see myself wearing often and for a large period of time. You know, I'm not gonna go buy something that I'm only gonna wear once and then just that's gonna hang in my closet for the rest of whatever. You know, I try to go in with that kind of a mindset. I think there are ways where, you know, if you are on a budget, you can be more responsible and not have to go and spend $60 on a t-shirt that is, you know, recycled, whatever, you know?
Like, just like, I don't know if this is like a term, but like conscious sustainability, just like, just like knowing. And I feel like instead of pushing trends, like in fashion, we should push the mindset behind fashion. And I feel like this generation can lead that, and like people like you are leading kind of that mindset and like sharing those ideas with everybody, and like how we can, you know, live in such a world versus, and how we can progress towards that world. As environmental and sustainability issues become more prominent, do you believe that every degree, like in theory, have an element of sustainability teaching?
Yeah, I do. I think I'm seeing a lot of SFU as well, but I think sort of every, I'm going to say the majority of all fields, industries, positions, whatever it is, you are using the planet's resources in some way or another, correct? Or you are, you just, there's some impact. I mean, everything you do has a ecological footprint or an impact. And I think, for example, I mean, obviously in engineering, it makes a lot of sense, and also because it's what I study the most, but all systems are using up something, correct? They're using up energy. And so it's definitely important to consider how to be energy efficient and learn those techniques, standards, matters, whatever it is. But for example, if we go into sciences, for example, chemists work a lot with sustainability, or I'm going to say like energy and being like energy efficient a little more, but with like their chemical waste and such. There is a program at SFU that I wish I knew more about, but it sounds very cool. The REM program. So it's like resources and environmental management. I had to take one of their classes.
I think I saw that. I saw that on the course selection.
From what I understand, and I could be totally wrong, but it's like a combination of business and like being environmentally friendly, or like being environmentally conscious and such. So I took their ecological economics course, and it was like we talked
awesome. That's sick. Very cool. I love
that. It was essentially putting a price tag on all the science concepts that I was learning. And it was a very interesting perspective and something that like I did not, you know, it just didn't cross my mind. I didn't have to think about it. But once I learned more about the principles in that course, I was like, oh my goodness, like we're really not talking about this enough. But I know that there's a way to incorporate sustainability into every degree. And I do think that it is necessary for us to, you know, work towards climate change and the climate crisis. But I just don't know how soon that would happen. I think everybody is becoming more conscious, though. I know a girl who's at McGill and she's majoring in computer sciences, but then her minor is sustainability. Mm-hmm. And it's like, perfect. I don't know how they incorporate, but I definitely know it works. Like I know there are.
I kind of see that. But right. That's really cool.
It's not something that would come up to you first. So you wouldn't think, oh, a comp sci major with a minor in sustainability, but it's, I think that's super important. I think that totally works out. So, computer sciences.
Yeah.
I'm sure you see ways where you could incorporate sustainability into your degree. I mean, you kind of do.
You caught me there. even in post-secondary institutions, just being at school, there's so many ways to like be energy efficient and sustainable. Just like I feel like the education system can like do a lot in that sense. Like, I mean, us going remote, I mean, that was kind of inevitable, but like
I definitely did our planet some good.
Yeah, I heard. I mean, I felt that. I sensed that, like just being outside after being inside for a long time. I mean, minus the forest fires in BC, but
Yeah,
that's another story. I guess in like communications and marketing, we explained earlier, marketing has a whole lot to do with like the trends and like keeping up and maintaining what we put out into the world, and like how people consume trends has a lot to do with like kind of what I study.
You guys are the ones that are communicating information out to the general public, right? I mean, I think greenwashing, I kind of mentioned it earlier, but it's thing that people need to be able to identify and decipher between greenwashing and actual sustainability, and who's pumping out that information. It's the marketing and the communication major. So again, I think there's definitely a way to incorporate sustainability into every industry, really. And I think it is happening more and more. I'm seeing it in different like engineering disciplines, but I have no doubt that it's in sciences and it'll incorporate its way into the arts and such as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. And for everybody listening, like, how can you tie that into whatever you're doing, like on the day to day? Like, how can you just maybe like think about that for a second?
Even like nutrition majors, you know, the food you eat has such an impact. You got to consider the emissions of the food that you're eating. You know, obviously, like red meat has a high emission rate. I'm forgetting my words too.
Heard something like that.
I read somewhere a few years ago that if everyone,
it's not even that good for you. Just putting that out there, though I love it, but
I'm a big carnivore, so
you're Persian, right? Like,
love red meat, probably more than your average person, which is bad. But I mean, I gotta be a little conscious, of course. But I read somewhere a few years ago that if everyone in the world was to eat like vegan and vegetarian just twice a week, emissions would plummet, like absolutely tank. It was just twice a week. And so that was really interesting. And it was something that I like to keep in mind when I'm, I guess, you know, eating or deciding what I want to eat.
When you're preparing food. Yeah.
It's also, you know, shopping from your local farmers or local grocery stores is great because, you know, you got to think about the whole process, right? Somebody is providing, let's just go with red meat, right? There's a farm somewhere with the cows. And then once the meat is, you know, I don't want to say like they butcher the cow because that's sad, but you know, when it's ready, it's got to get to your grocery store somehow. How is it getting to your grocery store? Through these big trucks driving these long distances with a lot of emissions. And then it just, you know, it goes,
they're being packaged with lots of plastics and like lots of damaging materials.
They do a good job of explaining their process on their website. I think it's Coca-Cola, but they kind of have like their their life cycle analysis, or their it cradle to grave, I think.
That's cool. And I think a lot of companies, like, what they lack is just like the accountability as well as the transparency with their consumers. Like, for example, back to that H&M example, like, where's the transparency? Like, yeah, I could be an avid H&M shopper, but like, how can I hold you guys accountable? Like, how can I trust you guys that you're going to like do what you say? And like, a lot of the time it's just like that people just don't care enough. Like, you're gonna see you're gonna see a leaf on a poster and be like, hey, I'm doing a good thing. Like, I see green words. You're just gonna see it. You're gonna see like some kids in an A&W commercial running on a farm, and then you're gonna be like, wow, like, this is so fresh, like, this is so good, like, I'm doing a great thing for the world, like, you know what I mean? Like, people are so we're just so blindsided by this
of, like, the green leaf. Sorry, cutting you off now. I just realized I'm lagging a little bit, so I'm very sorry about that. But speaking of the green leaf, I went to the store the other day, and there was this tiny section in the back of the store, and it was their eco-friendly line, and the only colors you'll see in the clothing items was beige and like a sage green. I was like, are you kidding me?
I know.
Okay, not even being like subtle about it at this point.
Yeah, like organic sections and things like that. And it's just like, honestly, it's not even about organic. That's great, we love that word, but it's also just, it's a huge marketing scheme.
Buzzwords, right? Buzzwords.
Yeah, it's a huge marketing scheme, and it's just, it's like, totally, I mean, we're sheeple.
Again, it's very, very possible that there are these big corporations that are turning towards being more sustainable. Again, Nike was one that.
No, I do agree. Just
put the work to see it, you know, like, you got to do your research, which is
do
work.
The research. Yeah, it is work. Yeah. It's just like, if we could. And I know a lot of companies do this and offer the transparency and the clarity in a digestible manner for like the general public. But like, it's, I don't know. I feel like the intentions, once again, behind it is just like, do you want us to think we're doing a good thing, or do you want us to know we're doing a good thing? So what is next for WICT, like Women in Clean Tech? Any projects or events in the works? I know you talked about September being like a whole
wellness month.
Yeah. Like, so what else do you have in the works that we can know about right now?
Yeah, of course. We've got merchandise coming out. I did this this design that's, and I'll talk about it once I finally, you know, finalize and whatnot, but there's this design that's very near and dear to my heart that I'm very excited to see on clothing. But we've got a cool merch drop finally coming out. We did handmade face masks this time last year, which was awesome, and the support was great. No, I had my grandma make all the masks by hand, which was super impressive, but I'm not gonna ask her to do that again.
My goodness. Thanks, grandma, for listening.
Right. Hi, grandma. But did that last year, and it was so fun. And then I did a merch drop for the C program, so like my degree, and so now I'm gonna do one for WIG just because we've got some very cool designs and such. I'm really excited, but that's probably the nearest thing coming up. And then we have like a few annual events. Like we had a, what do we call it? A career confidence event last year, which was, we had like women in the industry come in to speak to us. So we had like an SFU alumni, a UBC alumni. And then there was this one company, Smith & Anderson. And we had a senior engineer and a junior engineer, both women, come speak to us, which was a super, super cool conversation. Actually, I loved it. Like, I was just so engaged in it. But it was very cool to see the perspective of two women in the industry, one who obviously has had to work very, very hard to get to the position that she's at, and one coming into her position with a lot of, you know, doors opened and a lot of I guess trailblazing done beforehand, which is very, very cool. But yeah, so we're probably gonna do that again. Awesome. And then I really want to do more in-person events, but obviously I'm gonna have to wait for regulations to loosen up a bit at SFU. But it'd be great to see everyone.
That's so cool. Love
otherwise
that.
We're just doing a lot of our virtual
meetings,
not campaigns, but like sort of campaign-esque. So a lot like Wellness Month and such. And we're hoping to bring back like our Wicked Vogue covers, because we had two or three people do the cover for us and it was super fun. It was really cool interviewing like women in tech around us. And so probably get to bring that back.
What was that, Wicked Vogue?
Yeah. So like
we did like I love that.
Very fun. And we did like an interview and we had the girls that we interviewed send us like these gorgeous photos of themselves. And so one of us was Rachel George, was the first girl that we did, and she models, so she's got these beautiful photos and it was super fun to edit. And then the second one, I didn't do her interview, so I'm forgetting her name, but they're both SFU mechatronic system engineering like graduates, or I think Rachel is graduating like very, very soon. But it was super fun to talk to them and get those interviews done and just kind of hype them up. It was really cool. But yeah, hopefully we're gonna bring that back.
It's nice to, you know, give some woman a bit of the spotlight, you know, exactly. As well as look like a queen while doing it. So stay tuned, everybody. Seems like there's a lot going on.
If you want to follow us on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. What are some of your socials?
Yeah, we're at WICT_SFU. That's WICT. I think Instagram is probably the best way to reach us or reach me if you ever DM us. But yeah, got some fun stuff going on there.
Yeah, so what's next for you? There's co-op, there's school, your career, like what is next?
Yeah, so I've got kind of a busy fall coming up. I'm starting my first co-op term. So it's at a company downtown called Integral. They do engineering consulting. And a lot of their work is with designing energy efficient buildings, which is what I want to go into ultimately. So it's very cool that I was able to land a co-op with them. I'm on their mechanical design team. So we will see what that consists of shortly, but I'm just very excited to kind of explore energy efficient building design more. It's what I'm passionate about, what I'm interested in, and hopefully going to start my career in. But that's been very exciting, and that'll be a nice change of pace and scenery from having completed 6 semesters in a row. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
but it's time
to just like apply that and in
exactly,
real world.
Exactly. Some hands-on experience.
Very lucky to have you. You're going to definitely bring in, you're an awesome addition to their team. So really excited to see what you do over there. Maybe you can come back for another episode, give us a little recap of like what it's like, you know, being in the workforce. Yeah. Besides that, thank you so much for being with us today and talking with us, really excited to have you. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun. I felt so comfortable. It was just like a little chit-chat. I felt like we were just grabbing coffee. It was cute.
Definitely.
All right, folks. That is all for this episode of Speak On It featuring Yasmin. For anyone who is tuning in right now, we will be back again soon with another episode of Speak On It. So be sure to follow us on Instagram at SFU Surge, as well as you can follow my Instagram, you know, Blasian Spider-Man, if you want to be a part of the wider tech conversation and possibly contribute to future episodes. Also, if you guys know anybody that might be a contender for our next guest, we would love to hear from you about it. We'd love to meet them. So please DM us and reach out. Thank you again and have a great rest of your day.